In today's episode, I get a chance to sit down with my friend Lee and discuss nutrition and everything involved in hiking and hiking prep as he is getting prepared to hike the Pacific Crest Trail starting in spring. Stay tuned for more. Welcome to the Almost Athlete podcast, where I discuss insights to fitness, wellness, and lifestyle that I've gained over the years. Through my experiences, I have encountered countless numbers of people who have injuries, aches, pains, limitations, and health challenges. I believe the vast majority of these could be solved, minimized, or altogether avoided with some basic insight into anatomy and physiology principles, as well as an understanding of wellness, including nutrition and daily habits. My goal is to bridge the gap from the lack of digestible, easy-to-understand information to actionable insights for a more functional, happy life. This episode is brought to you by Back Pain Solutions, 11 minutes daily for improved posture and reduced back pain. Are you tired of back pain? Most people don't realize that their posture and work positions are often causing their back pain. Making some simple daily changes can compound over time to improve your posture and reduce back pain. This program only takes 11 minutes per day, no gym equipment required, and no sweating. To find out more, check out the show notes or thealmostathlete.com/backpainsolutions. What I was thinking is we could talk about just like where we're currently at with our nutrition, and then maybe like what like insights you have as far as nutrition goes, or you know, anything that you've learned recently with what you're doing. So I'll start out if you want. Nutrition-wise, I currently do a modified ketogenic diet. So I can kind of talk about specifically what that is in a second here. But I've been eating this way for a little over 2 years now. I found that for me, this is ideal because it gives me a lot more freedom with when I need to eat, what I can eat, as well as kind of like how I feel with that. Let's see, I guess I'll just jump, throw it over to you to start with, and just what are you currently doing for your nutrition?
Right now it's, following templates from RP Nutrition. Okay. And, they break it down into fat loss versus strength gain.
Okay.
So if you're above 18% body fat, they recommend you do the fat loss program first and then start the strength. Uh-huh. And so the first 2 weeks is, just kind of getting used to the templates, figuring out how much food you need and when.
Okay.
And then for the second phase, fat loss one, they really just up the vegetables and decrease the fat. And it kind of continues on a similar trend until you hit a plateau with fat loss, and then you start with fat loss template number two or number three.
Okay.
And then eventually you wind up on a maintenance phase where it's a more balanced mix, a little more fat in the diet.
Okay. What about, so how long have you been on it so far?
This is the end of week five.
Okay. And what have you noticed so far?
Definitely a little bit leaner.
Okay.
I've lost, the weight's tricky. I'm on the scale, the numbers aren't changing much, but I can see a difference and I can feel a difference.
Okay.
So I think the scale is just kind of a tool, but yeah. I think it's more like intuitive, like how you're feeling. I've noticed I'm eating a lot more vegetables than I was before, and yeah. I definitely was under eating before I started the template.
Are you eating vegetables or
in just food in general?
Food in general. What about your like workout energy and just energy throughout your workday? Have you noticed a change?
It's been pretty consistent.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say there's probably less dips than I had before.
Okay.
I think that's just trying to eat more every like 3 to 5 hours, or
okay.
maybe the macronutrient is a better like breakdown.
Right, right. So yeah, so that that sounds similar-ish to a way that I kind of was trying to eat previously to doing the ketogenic diet. I don't think I was as disciplined as you are with your diet of keeping the ratios consistent. And for timing, I would like be really good for part of the day and then basically fuck it up the rest of the day. And that's just kind of how I did it. So, which I found wasn't that helpful for me. So, but yeah, so for me, like I can see just off the get-go, one contrast of the way you're eating and the way I'm eating is you eat much more frequent than I do. And then it sounds like you have more carbohydrates. But other than that, I think there's more similarities than differences. I think you probably find this too, but a lot of the diets, I think where
in my opinion, they kind of get it wrong in how they're explaining it, is there's too much focus on the macronutrients and not as much on everything else. And so I think, like for the ketogenic diet, for example, people get so caught up in worrying about the how much fat and like, holy shit, there's so much fat, I'm going to get fat or I'm going to clog my arteries or all these problems, where I think, yes, it's important, but it's just as important, if not more, to get lots of high fibrous vegetables in your diet, right? Because you need to make sure your gut bacteria can manage all that fat and protein that you're consuming. So so I found that with discussing diet with other people, a lot of times that those nuances, which in my opinion make or break the diet, get lost because people are just so focused on the macronutrients, you know? And so I don't think you're that way, but I think that's what I see a lot with diets. And yeah. So, you know, people, you get so stuck on, like, that's only the 30,000 foot view of the diet, the macronutrients. Like, that's just a general-ish concept, so we have something to work on. Then we can get in, like, what are you actually eating? What's the source of that food? Like, what's the timing of that? You know, all those little nuances. So, so for me, I found that, you know, going from eating like 2 to 3 hours, every 2 to 3 hours, 3 to 4 hours, maybe for a long time, it's been a nice break to not have to be so frequent with my meals. And so, like, that's something I actually really enjoy with eating now, is I just don't have to eat as often. And so when I do eat, I feel like it's a little more of a treat versus like having to feel like I'm force feeding myself.
I like to eat. Sorry.
That's good. Well, and it's not that I don't like to eat, it's that I don't like to hassle with managing food. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I find that has been a nice, helpful thing for me. But you seem to do pretty well with like meal prepping, right? So how do you typically do your meal prep?
So we'll grocery shop on like a Sunday and then spend Monday doing food prep. So we'll, whether that's buying like fresh chicken, beef, whatever, we'll cook that up, get all the vegetables cut, ready to go. And then I just set 4 containers out. I work 4 10-hour days.
Okay.
So we'll set those up and I'll just put in roughly 3 cups of vegetables, 4 or 4.5 ounces of protein, and then maybe 25 grams of carbs, and that's it. Like,
okay.
It's done.
You just drink one per day?
One per day, yeah.
Okay.
And then I'll have like maybe some protein powder for like in between work. It's just quicker.
Okay.
I don't have time to step out and eat, so
right.
I can down a shake in no time at all.
So your quote-unquote meals are some sort of caloric intake throughout the day?
Semi-regular intake, yeah.
Semi-regular, okay. So as far as meals that you found to be like your favorite that comply with those macronutrients and stuff, is there anything that you tend to eat more often than others, or?
Yeah, I wish there was a magic protein. Like,
yeah.
I'm sick of chicken, I'm sick of beef.
Yeah.
Pork is okay, but so I have to like mix it up a lot, whether it's like using mustards or salsas or vinegars, just change the flavor. Maybe it's more like spice 1 week and more bland another week, but lately it's been like a lot of broccoli, which I don't enjoy, but I know it's good for me, so I'll sprinkle on some like spicy salsa and then it's palatable.
Cooked or uncooked?
Cooked,
okay.
Raw broccoli's gross.
Not your favorite.
Let yourself, yeah.
That's fair. Okay, and so what about like end of the day, you know, nighttime snack, dessert, is there anything that you do for that, or?
Besides wine and chocolate.
Besides what?
Wine and chocolate.
Oh, yeah, hey, that's enough. That's
so, usually the current template I'm on, I get most of my fat in the evening.
Okay.
So that's where I eat, like, the almonds and chocolate and wine, because I like wine.
Yeah.
But just 4 ounces, that's
what
enough.
What kind of wine?
I've been wine always.
Red wine.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
So usually that, and then if I'm really hungry, maybe like a protein shake or even a green shake with some protein powder in it, but trying to keep the green intake high.
Yeah.
I'm actually supposed to be taking a protein supplement at night when I sleep, but I don't do well with a lot of egg protein, so I actually ditched that and seem to be doing fine on the program anyway.
Okay. So speaking of supplements, are there any other supplements that you're taking specifically for this nutrition program, or is it just kind of the, you know, normal daily vitamins and that kind of stuff?
Daily vitamins, which for me right now is like an antihistamine, like a quercetin, I think is how you pronounce it.
Okay.
Which helps with allergies I have.
Okay.
And then vitamin D, just like 5,000 IUD once a day.
Okay.
Just because we're in Seattle.
Yeah.
And then turmeric we started since we're doing a long hike.
Okay.
In a few weeks. So just trying to keep
Is that in capsule form?
That's capsule, yeah.
Okay. Okay, good. What about like liquid intake? So you mentioned a protein shake, obviously drinking water throughout the day. Is there any other like beverages that you tend to consume?
pretty even mix between green tea and coffee.
Green tea
and
coffee, okay.
Yeah, usually like your mate and just black coffee.
Do you put anything in those?
No, not usually.
Straight up.
Straight up.
Nice. Good flavor that way.
Yeah.
Nice. So previously to the starting this nutrition program, what do you think your biggest like fail points or faults with your nutrition was?
Oh, I definitely have some, yeah. I would try and track it on MyFitnessPal, and I found it to be too much of a headache to find specifically what I wanted, to track it. Like, I couldn't do that. I can follow a spreadsheet, but I have a hard time putting things in,
right.
Like little buckets,
the
or it doesn't match just right, and it's a headache.
Yeah.
So, that never really worked for me.
Okay.
And I think otherwise I would just kind of like eat intuitively, like, well, I have vegetables, I have meat, and I have some carbs, like, I guess I'm good.
Put them together, yeah.
Yeah, sounds like a meal.
Yeah.
But it turned out I was eating too little, and that wasn't really helping, and
right.
I just wasn't getting what I needed.
Yeah.
So, having played with ketosis also, I did that for a little while. I kind of grew bored with the lack of food.
Mm.
Like, it was a lot of, like, coconut for me, a lot of macadamia nuts, and
right.
It was just starting to get really boring really fast.
Yeah.
So it worked well for what I needed it for, which was hiking in the summer.
Yeah.
I can go a lot further and eat a lot less.
Right.
But I think now having a better dispersion of like carbohydrates, protein, fat, like it seems to be a better fit for my body type.
Yeah. How long were you doing the ketogenic diet for?
Two different times I did it. Once was for about 8 months, and
okay.
Another time was shorter, maybe like 2.5-3 months.
Okay.
And the second time around just didn't seem like it was quite the same. Mm-hmm. Was maybe less effective. I struggled more with like the carb flu at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
like that transition phase, that first week or so.
Right.
And I just, that seemed to kind of linger. I was in a fog for a long time. And
Did you ever try using any of the like ketone supplements, like the exogenous ketones, like beta hydroxybutyrate powder or anything like that?
A little bit, not much. I did some MCT oil and that seemed okay, but nothing really seemed to like help make me feel better.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I think, when I didn't really experience the carb flu when I did the transition. I think for me, like, I was already not eating very much, like a lot of carbs that would have necessarily triggered that. That's my hunch looking back. Because it seems to be that that's pretty common that people go through that. And I honestly didn't really have that issue. I came at it from, similar to you, like kind of doing a nutritional audit, looking what I'm trying to figure out where I'm getting it right or wrong. And I was under eating, but for me it was under eating vegetables a smidgen, but mostly under eating fat. And I think I've, you know, like most people are indoctrinated in the like fat's bad, don't eat too much, you're gonna look fat and all that. And so I think that even to now, like even though I know that that's not truth, like it's, I still have to kind of remind myself at times. And so I still think that getting enough of stuff is, it can still be a challenge. But I've noticed, I don't know if you noticed this when you were doing keto, that I feel like I don't have to consume as many calories overall because the calories that I am consuming are so much more like nutrient dense, you know.
Yeah.
So like if I'm eating something that has carbohydrates, it's vegetables and it usually has fiber, it usually has a lot of micronutrients, all these other things in it that I'm just getting so much more bang for my buck that I don't feel like I need to necessarily eat the, you know, 2500 calories a day or whatever it is that I'm going to be burning. And that's include with training, with doing CrossFit stuff, with doing, you know, all the, you know, strength training work and stuff. So so yeah, it's interesting to see how that can kind of affect different people. But I do, one thing that I have noticed with the way that I'm eating is that I do sometimes find that I feel a little under calories, and I will kind of make up for that by usually eating lots of high fat chocolate that I make, or like whipped cream or something that tastes delicious, and then I overdo it and into my stomach. So so I have to have a balance with that stuff too, but still it's interesting. I find that the fat and then, you know, still making sure that I'm staying on top of my fibrous vegetables are the two things that I still struggle with that, you know, at times. So it's interesting. So why did you decide to why are you not doing the ketogenic diet for your upcoming hiking trip versus something that has more carbs?
Well, I think you had two things. One, nutrient density, and two, like getting enough fat to be satiated.
Yeah.
Like, That's key. And with hiking, we're doing something similar. It's a really nutrient-dense diet.
Okay.
So we're shooting for like 150 calories per ounce of food.
Okay.
So we have like a number we're shooting for. Mm-hmm. Like an apple fritter is like 130.
Okay.
Or a Snickers is like 120.
Okay.
So just for baseline. Like they're fat and they're energy, but it's maybe not as efficient as we could be.
Right.
So hiking the Pacific Crest Trail, we're going to need a lot of calories.
Yeah.
And if I can make it more nutrient-dense per ounce, that means I can carry less,
which
makes my pack weighs less, and then I still get what I need.
Right.
So we're trying some things like dehydrated hummus, which is actually tastes really good and very calorically dense. Different grains, nuts, like macadamia nuts are still really good. Walnuts, pecans are even kind of pretty high up there.
Yeah.
And then we're also sending ourselves dehydrated meat.
Okay.
Like maybe every other stop or so.
Okay.
I think getting carbs is going to be easy.
Yeah.
I think getting vegetables is going to be so-so with like freeze-dried options. But I think meat's going to be the tough one to get in.
Yeah.
So we found Thrive Nutrition. They have a bunch of great freeze-dried organic meats and vegetables.
Hmm.
So their pork is really good. They've got beef, chicken, my favorite.
Yeah.
And so with that, we can just kind of make our own meals up.
Hmm.
We can make sure that we're hitting the numbers that we need there. And then was the other?
Well, an interesting thing I think will be to see, like, you're probably going to be in ketosis almost regardless of what you're eating, unless you're eating just like a hardcore American diet, which I can't imagine you're going to just make that switch.
Yeah.
McDonald's the whole way.
So there is a McDonald's challenge you can do.
Yeah,
100 mile hike on just McDonald's.
Nice.
I'm going to pass.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, it does sound awful.
Yeah, that's interesting. But I mean, you're going to have so much output, you know, that I don't think that you're going to have to worry about.
No.
Like, if anything, it's going to be trying to get enough.
Get enough.
Yeah.
So really, I'm going to need around 4,000 calories per day.
Yeah.
Which is going to be tough to get in. So it's going to be like breakfast and then snacking until lunch and then snacking until dinner and then snacking at camp again. So for us, I think trying to be as healthy as possible, stay as nutrient dense as possible is going to be key. So when we leave towns, we're going to have like a bag of spinach with us. We're going to bring some fresh fruits and vegetables.
Okay.
They weigh more, but they last a couple of days.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be really worth it for us. Our focus is to keep inflammation down.
Okay.
And if we can do that with healthier foods, all the better.
Yeah.
That's where the turmeric comes in.
Right.
So we'll be doing that. And then probably some amino acids also just help with recovery.
Okay.
And then some easy carbs like dried fruit, just something the body can easily absorb and
just
kind of rebuild as soon as we get to camp. So
right, get some glycogen back in muscles.
Yeah, like you said, and yeah, realistically probably mostly like in a fat burning zone if you want to go there. Like heart rate in like, you know, like 130, 140 for probably most of the day, carrying a 25-pound pack. Like, yeah, you're hiking 8 to 10 hours, you're going to be in like burning fat at some level.
Oh, yeah.
For a big part of your
hike.
Yeah.
So that makes me think, one of the things that I've noticed has been the biggest positive attributes of the modified ketogenic diet and the way that I've been doing it, really more this last year as opposed to the previous year, but is adding in more fermented foods. So for me, like, I eat sauerkraut before every single meal, every day, or drink some of the sauerkraut brine, and it sounds amazing, and it is, that has been such a game changer for me for how my stomach responds, and I think it really has to go with, like, that gut bacteria, and, you know, the sauerkraut, or the cabbage is really high in glutamine, and then that gets pulled out through the fermentation process, so you get a lot of it in the brine, but so with that in mind, is that something that you guys have considered? I know that's, you can't just pack a bunch of sauerkraut. I used to get it, but that'd be tricky. I mean, and I know there's, you know, kimchi is another option. Like, there's some other stuff you could do, but all of them seem to be heavy and wet.
Yeah. Not things we're looking for.
Yeah. I don't know. Is that something you've thought about or considered?
Absolutely.
Or
so we actually have a shelf-stable probiotic that we bring in with this as well.
Smart.
And I think
this is like a capsule?
Just
or?
A capsule,
okay.
Yeah. Most hikers that come off the trail are malnourished and they're nutrient deficient because they're eating like Pop-Tarts and ramen noodles, just like terrible like foods, right?
Stuff that they can pack.
Because it's a green light, right? You can eat whatever you want for 5 months while you hike. Like, if you want to feel terrible, go ahead.
Yeah.
I want to be able to be strong coming off the trail as I was starting it.
Right.
And I think keeping inflammation down, I'm almost 40.
Right.
Like, my body's probably not going to be nearly as adaptable as someone who's in their early 20s hiking the trail.
For sure.
So I need to prepare a little bit differently.
Right.
And I think that probiotic is a big part of that too, just making sure we got the gut bacteria to keep things moving, not get sick as easily.
Right.
Like, just set ourselves up for success.
Yeah. Nice. That's a good plan. And then, so another thing I was thinking is as far as like vegetables and keeping the greens up. So one thing I utilize even when I'm not doing anything like hiking, but just throughout the week is like the supplement Amazing Grass, I think is the company's name, but there's a couple other ones, but basically like a powdered vegetable mixture that you just add water and can, you know, shake up in your cup or whatever. Is that something you guys are going to try to take with you as well, or something like that, maybe?
I've tried some in the past and just didn't do well with those.
Okay.
Like, they just didn't sit well with me.
Ah, got it.
There's a red one I tried and then a green one.
Okay.
They tasted okay, but it, not my favorite.
Was your favorite? Okay, I think that's good. It's good to hash those things out before you get on the trail.
Yeah.
Instead of thinking you have some good solution and then, like, oh, I'm not going to eat this.
You might have an explosive problem.
Yeah, exactly. That would not be good. okay, well, so is there anything else that you have either read or thought about or thoughts you've had as far as specific to nutrition on your hike? Or anything you're thinking of maybe preparing?
Well, so I know for me, like, you pack for your fears.
Okay.
Sarah's fear is being cold, so she packs more clothes.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to be really hungry a lot.
so
I'm really consumed with what I'm going to be eating while I'm on the trail.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm definitely going to be bringing more food than I need, but that's my security blanket. So
yeah.
I can be cold, I can be wet, I can be uncomfortable, but if I get hangry...
Yeah, no good.
That's
So are you planning on, or have you thought about doing any, like, fattening up before the trip, or like give yourself a little body fat buffer, or because you're probably what 9%, 8% right now, I would guess. Looking at you,
no,
my laser eyes,
don't judge me. I'm not sure where I'm at right now. I was gonna do a DEXA scan before we left and found out that it's no longer available.
Oh, interesting.
So that wasn't really an option. I might do some measurement skin fold before we go,
yeah,
and just do a pre post,
just
like
have an idea,
yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll kind of see what happens.
Yeah. And it sounds like it's trade-off, like we were talking before we started, but like the more weight you have on, the more wear and tear into your joints, the harder it is to move your body.
Yeah.
And you're already managing the weight with the pack. So I wouldn't imagine you'd want to get too heavy.
No.
But then you don't want to be so lean that you don't have much of a buffer between, you know, maybe missing a meal or two or an injury or something like that. So.
Yeah, so just trying to lean up a little bit before we go,
yeah,
which is why I'm doing kind of the RP nutrition now.
Yeah.
That's working well. And then cutting down pack weight as much as we can.
Okay.
Staying on top of workouts, not trying to lose any cardio conditioning. It's hard to hike in Seattle in winter.
Yeah.
So doing a lot of track lunges with like a weight vest, just trying to keep on top. I think if we're in better shape going into the trail, even though we're not hiking 20 miles a day to start, we'll be able to better adapt to those demands once we actually begin the trail.
Right, that makes sense. So I have one more question about the hiking things. It's something I've been thinking about is, so for me, sleeping would be the part that I would be concerned about. Like I would probably try to shove a queen size mattress in my bag or something. But so I'm an avid day hiker, but I've never really done overnight hikes before. And probably most of that's because I don't want to sleep on the ground. And so my question is, how do you like prepare for that? Do you guys do like trial runs in the backyard? Do you have like padding? Like what do you do for that?
Yes to all the above. So we have something in our backyard.
Okay, good.
We backpack around 30 or camp about 30 nights a year.
Okay.
So we've got a pretty good system down with that. I'm a side sleeper.
Okay.
Which is usually not great for backpacking.
Yeah.
I do sleep on an air mattress that's maybe 2.5-3 inches thick.
When you're hiking?
When I'm hiking.
Okay.
And it folds down. It's pretty lightweight.
Okay.
And it was like 12 ounces. And it keeps me warm. I'm pretty happy with that.
Nice.
And my luxury item is a pillow. So it's an inflatable pillow, which is really nice.
Nice.
Some people will shame me for saying that. You got to have a pillow.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, you could use a stuff sack and crumple up some stuff, but who wants a lumpy pillow?
No, that's not the same.
Like, that's where your recovery is going to happen, right? Is sleep.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
If we focus on nutrition and sleep, we get those systems dialed in, I think we're going to be in good shape.
Yeah. Nice. Okay, one more question on the hiking, then I'll leave the hiking alone. But what about mobility tools? So speaking of recovery, you and I both spend all our money on gym equipment and mobility stuff. So are you bringing any with you? If not, what's your game plan for mobility work or tissue maintenance, I should say?
Definitely something I thought about.
Yeah.
Probably a lacrosse ball or even a tune-up ball is one for sure. Probably a Voodoo Floss band.
Okay.
They're heavy. 8 ounces doesn't sound like much, but
yeah, on top of everything else,
it adds up fast.
Yeah.
But I think that'll be really good just to help like with calves and quads. Like,
I
think those are gonna be big things. And then the lacrosse ball for shoulders. I get sore from carrying packs.
Nice.
Working on thoracic spine extension. So, Yeah, I think we're going to have a plan around that.
Okay.
And then probably definitely doing some kind of stretch routine, whether it's like some downward dog or a hip opener series, something to just keep the joints moving. Walking doesn't give you a great range of motion.
Right.
So I think being able to access those range of motions, whether you're resting at camp at the end of the day or starting your day with that, is going to be pretty key.
Yeah, doing like a mobility routine.
Absolutely.
Nice. That's a good plan. Sweet. That's a lot of good information. Is there anything else that I should know as a non-experienced overnight hiker, anything that you would advise me to prep myself if I was going to go try to do like a one night overnight? What would be the biggest thing you would think that a problem I would run up against or a rookie mistake that I could make?
You're probably going to bring too much.
Yeah. Okay.
Whether it's too much clothing, like you think you're going to need the cast iron fry pan, like whatever. You don't need a 12 pack of beer. Tech smart.
Yeah.
And in backpacking, we do a shakedown hike. So you load up your pack with everything you're going to bring.
Okay.
You do your hikes, and then when you come back, you look at, like, all right, what didn't I need? What did I bring back? So I actually take a list of everything I bring on a hike.
Okay.
When I come back, and then I sort it out, like, didn't need it. Could I have done without this? And then sometimes I regretted it, like, dang it, really should have had, an extra set of rope or whatever it was.
So do you do that after each day hike, and then you kind of adjust for each overnight, or is this something you kind of gather data over many times and then kind of...
Each overnight. And I've been backpacking for like 20 years, so I got a pretty good system.
Okay.
I guess just trying new gear out, figuring out what works and what doesn't work.
Right.
And then finding out like the day hiking, I do so much of it, like I pretty much know what I need in my pack.
Right.
I don't have to think much about it.
Okay.
But yeah, the backpacking, like really just dialing in your like base kit, your base weight.
Got it.
And being... And I think that evolves, right? The more you hack and backpack, the more you realize you can be comfortable with less.
Right.
So like I don't need... like an extra set of shirt or socks, or like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I need less.
No one's gonna mind the smell. No. Yeah,
you're gonna smell your way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then when do you guys leave? When's the kickoff date?
We fly to San Diego March 20th.
Okay.
We spend a day there getting some supplies that we need. We'll take a bus the 21st down to Campo, which is the border of California, Mexico. It's the little town we start at.
Okay.
And then on the 22nd, we turn north and walk home.
Dang.
It's only 2,600 miles, right?
No big deal.
No big deal.
It's a nice, easy stroll. Man. Nice. Okay. Well, that was good.
Thanks for listening. To learn more insights to fitness, wellness, or lifestyle, or to sign up for my newsletter, go to thealmostathlete.com.